Somebody, have you ever seen or heard about somebody doing something and you said to yourself, or you heard someone say, "What were you thinking? What were they thinking? What were you thinking?" You hear things like, there was a fellow, a football player at a college, that he was had an imaginary girlfriend for 2 years, and he says, "I was the victim of a hoax," and that kind of thing. And okay, well, whatever. I mean, but what were you thinking? And that all goes back to, we know that our actions and what we do come from our thoughts. All actions are preceded by thoughts. So our thinking puts in motion what we do and what kind of person we become. I'd like for you to look there at Romans chapter 12. As we're thinking about this year, about take time to be holy, the Bible talks about that our life is to be a holy sacrifice. How then do we become holy and dedicated to God? Paul says, "Therefore I urge you," therefore looks back to the plan of salvation, to the grace of God that was described in the preceding chapters. "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies," that is our whole self, "a living and holy sacrifice." We are completely dedicated to God in view of all that God has done for us. "Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world." How do we present ourselves as a holy sacrifice? "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be corrupted by the evil thinking of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And what then is the key to lasting change so that we can become holy? And he says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word there, renewing, literally means to mind again. That we are developing, regenerating our mind. How then do we create this new mind? Well, by what we put into our mind. No one else can put things into your mind except you. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we're going to talk about being holy in mind. To be holy in life, we have to first be holy in mind. And we're going to talk about the power of scriptural affirmations. The word there, affirmation, means to make firm. And it just simply means to confirm something is true. To affirm very solemnly or seriously, this is true. I want you to notice that the transforming power of a holy mind comes from learning how to orderly affirm our spiritual truth. Because I think everyone would say, is attitude important? Pretty much I think most everyone would say attitude is important. But have you ever paid attention to what you think about or how you talk to yourself all day long? When I was in high school, I happened to be where this older woman, she was working, and she did not know that I could hear her talking to herself. And I could hear herself talk, and she was saying things like, I can't. It's just not going to work out. I just don't know. And I just heard that over and over again, and it was somewhat distressing. And you wonder, what kind of effect is that kind of thinking going to have on her life? So the Bible says that we are in charge of what we put into our mind. They think that we think about 50,000 thoughts every day. There are thoughts going through our mind that God has created, and we are the sculptor. We write the script for what we allow to go into our mind. And so we ask ourselves, what do I tell myself all day long? Now, so that's going to talk about this renewing of the mind to prove what the will of God is that there's some discipline. There needs to be some kind of discipline. Instead of, I think what we do is, well, yeah, I need to have a good attitude. And we have vague, random, wandering thoughts. instead of focusing our mind on the specific content of the will of God in specific words, we crystallize our thinking in specific words to help affirm affirm what is true about God's word. And Jesus used the concept of affirmations when he would say, "Truly, truly, I say to you," or "Verily, verily, I say unto you." An affirmation is a confirmation that this is true. The Bible is God's big book of affirmations. You see all kinds of affirmation, solemn truth that is declared in the pages of God's word. So what do I tell myself all day long? We need to be convinced of the power of the mind. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." The context is a ruler says, "Eat." He's stingy. His heart is not with you, because the proverb writer says, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." William James, back in around 1900, who was a psychology professor at Harvard University, said, "The greatest discovery of our generation is that a human being can alter their life by altering their attitudes of mind." Dr. James, I think you're about 3,000 years too late here. Solomon said 3,000 years ago by the Holy Spirit, along with other verses, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As we think, so we are. As we continue to think, so we shall be. Because our thoughts are a preview of coming attractions in our life. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. What we want to remember today in the power of scriptural affirmations, being holy in mind, is that we want to discipline how we think. We want to structure how we talk to ourselves all day long. And this is exactly what the psalmist does here in Psalm chapter 1. This is the introduction to the book of Psalms. It's a wisdom psalm. And he says, "How blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." He doesn't listen to wicked people. He doesn't let that junk get in his mind and affect his behavior. Verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The word there, meditate, means to repeat. It means to mutter. He is mulling over God's word. These are not vague, general, wandering thoughts. These are specific thoughts that are expressed in words that he is meditating on day and night. This is the idea of mental discipline. Now, I meant to ask Olin before my sermon. I had a physics question for him. Because, you know, you can take a light bulb and that diffuses light. You can take that same light and you can focus it and you have a laser beam and it'll cut through steel. What's the difference? One is diffused, one is focused. And here he's talking about the power of focused thought on the Word of God. These affirmations, what God says, I am affirming and applying in my life. So that is the key then to the power of scriptural affirmations. And he goes on to say, "For he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." So he says it works. It produces a holy life of fruitfulness when external circumstances are dry and difficult. So we're not the victim of circumstance. We create our own mental weather. We choose our attitude. We write the script of what we think about all day long. Now I want you to look, please, with me at Deuteronomy chapter 7 as Moses is teaching them to not give in to negative thinking or fearfulness, but they need to affirm God's promises in the face of enemies in the land of Canaan. Verse 17. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? He's anticipating. You're going to have negative thoughts. You're going to say, I can't. I can't. You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Take your mind off of your obstacles and put them on the power of God. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs of the wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. For you shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. So instead of telling God how big your problems are, we tell our problems how big our God is. You choose your attitude when you look at yourself, I'm weak and puny and limited. You look at God, and God can do all things. He's saying change your thinking. You affirm, you remember, you tell yourself these things over and over till it drives out fear in your mind. So whatever we put in our mind shapes our outlook and it expands our experience. Now, Jesus is a wonderful example of scriptural affirmations. We're told to have the mind of Christ. We can be more and more like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. Philippians 2 talks about humility. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do we arrange our thoughts? Well, I want to think about how Jesus arranged his thoughts. And I'm going to say something. Maybe you're going to think, I don't know what I'm talking about. What was Jesus thinking about during the ordeal of his trial and crucifixion? Now, you say, well, Frank, I know what he said, but do you know what Jesus was thinking about? Well, it's interesting. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 50, this is a messianic section, which you have in chapter 49. It talks about, my servant will redeem Jacob. And it culminates in Isaiah 53 that we talk about in the Lord's Supper. That servant there is Jesus, the Messiah. And I always thought this is just such an interesting verse because it gives us insight into the mental affirmations of Jesus during the ordeal of the crucifixion and his trial. This talks about what he was thinking from 6 a.m. when he stood before Pilate during the time that he was scourged and mocked, and then was on the cross for 6 hours. Verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. What is he thinking? The Lord my God helps me. He's thinking, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint. That's an affirmation. Flint's idea is that which is very hard. He has this resolve by affirmation. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let him stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. All during this time, you see, this was, I think, Jesus' attitude, his mental affirmations during the events that led up to the cross. So we think about the secret conversations we hold in the privacy of our own mind, shapes our character, and it determines how we live, whether we're going to live a holy life or not. 1 Peter 2 also says that he entrusted himself while he was on the cross. Another verse that talks about his thinking during that time. He affirmed the scriptural virtue of mercy under severe provocation. This is an affirmation Jesus made. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I think that's an accurate description of the viciousness of crucifixion. When we think about the crucifixion of your back being torn to shreds by a Roman scourge, that the crown of thorns pierces his brow, that he is slapped and spit in the face, that he is hanging by these iron spikes suspended between heaven and earth. surrounded by religious hypocrites and calloused pagan Roman soldiers, and that the Son of God can look men that he could destroy with the word, he looks at them with mercy. Severe provocation. Now, what was that that you said that you couldn't control or help the way you think? Jesus made a choice. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, Jesus is perfect. I understand that. But that is something that shows you that we have great, in following Christ, we can learn to take control of our attitude. Thomas Jefferson said, if you're angry, count to 10. And if you're real angry, count to 100. What did Jesus do? Jesus thought about spiritual virtue. And Jesus affirmed spiritual virtue. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, some scriptural affirmations in the Bible. There's on the internet, I found when I was doing research on this yesterday, there was one that said 110 scriptural affirmations. So I'm not going to go through those or whatever. You can look that up if you want to. But you think about what are some verses in the Bible that we can affirm, that is, not just I read it, but I affirm it, that this is what I believe and this is what I am. There's a difference between accepting the theoretical truth of Scripture, and that is, there's another point in making the practical application. This is what I think, this is what I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, do I really believe that? That I can be like I ought to be. I can do what the Lord wants me to do through the strength that He gives to me. Do I believe that? Faith and doubt looks at self. But, fear and doubt. I'm sorry, fear and doubt looks at self. But faith and hope looks at God. Thank you for making a curious expression at me. What did you mean by that? So, I knew I didn't have it quite right. Do you affirm I can through Christ? Instead of saying, I can't. It's good to write down, on a card. I have a card each day when I go out. I'm low tech. I have a little 3x5 card on the front. I put what I'm going to do that day. And then write verses on the inside. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a truth card. Now, you remember in the Old Testament where at Deuteronomy 6, these words shall be on your heart, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house. Why is that? That's a reminder. So during the day, of those 50,000 thoughts that are going to be coming through my mind, I can arrange that to make these scriptural affirmations. Write it down. This is what the text says. When I affirm it, I am saying, this is what I'm going to do about it. That's what I'm going to use. So affirmation is the deliberate statement of my belief that affirms God's truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When I read that, I can affirm I live by God's word as food for my soul. I live by God's word as food for my soul. Now, I don't think any of us have to be made to eat our favorite dessert or favorite dish or whatever it is. We do it because we like it. And sometimes in studying the Bible, I think for some people, as we grow spiritually, it's a change of taste occurs where we look forward to it. And, like physically, when I was in high school and college, I was basically the king of junk food. I would just, I don't want to tell you what I ate in high school and in college and that kind of thing. So then I've learned to like to eat baby spinach and baby carrots. Not just because my wife makes me. Yeah. So I've learned to like it. You acquire a taste for that. And something that you look forward to. Do I look forward to the Word of God like my favorite meal? I live by God's word as food for my soul. When you think that, when we think about something, it raises it in our consciousness. Okay? Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what the Scripture says. Now, when I affirm that, I am justified by faithfulness to Christ, and I have peace with God. How many have doubt? How many have uncertainty about their relationship with God? God doesn't want us to be uncertain. Well, if I know I'm right with God, we can know that we're right with God. He's revealed in the Bible. Believe and obey this. You can be right with me through the grace of God. I am justified by faithfulness to Christ, and I have peace with God. Now, a lot of these affirmations, there's several affirmations that I don't have time to go through. I printed out a sheet on the back called Biblical Affirmations, Who I Am in Christ. I am a child of God. I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I am a member of Christ's body. I am complete in Christ. And when you think about that, we act consistent with how we see ourselves. The Bible all tells us you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Well, why are you telling us what we are? So we be what you are. So think about that. Affirm that. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's an amazing verse. The unlimited power of God. You know that we limit the power of God. Now, that's an amazing statement. I mean, I thought God is all powerful, but we can limit God because it's according to the power that works within us. My God is able to do immeasurably more in my life than I can imagine as I trust and obey Him. Yeah, I have unlimited confidence in God. God can do anything. So you see how if we start affirming these things, our outlook will change. We choose what we put into our mind. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Paul is saying, hey, Corinthians, you know, he's knocking on their head. Hello. Don't you know this? You need to remember this. You need to think about this. For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Do I see myself that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That is, I have the dwelling or relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I'm a vessel to be used by God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit to glorify God and not to sin. That context is talking about fleeing immorality. We act consistent with how we see ourselves. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That was written to the Jews languishing in Babylonian captivity. And he said, you're going to rise like eagles out of captivity and go thousands of miles back to the promised land, back to Judah. Well, what does that have to do with us today? An affirmation. I wait upon the Lord and renew my strength. We need to learn to wait. Patience is the ability to wait on God without stripping my emotional gears. I wait upon the Lord and I renew my strength. And I'm just making suggestions of affirmations, things that you can tell yourself of what am I going to do with these verses that affirm the truth of God's Word. I said, notice this is an affirmation. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Do I ever say, well, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead anyway. Well, an affirmation is I need to be careful what I say. Personal affirmation. I guard my mouth to not sin with my lips. Do I consciously, am I careful what I let come out of my mouth? We can sin in action. We can sin with the mind. We can sin with words. And so the idea of a holy life is not an accident, is it? That we have to think about, I'm going to be careful about what I say and not say something that I would regret. Hebrews 13, verse 6. We confidently say, here's an affirmation. We confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Not everybody else's helper, not somebody else's helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I trust God to take care of me. Now you think about it, if I told myself that repeatedly, don't you think that worry, fear, and doubt would evaporate when I think about the promises of God and the power of Scripture to elevate my thinking? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. One of the most commonly known chapters in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. What difference has the 23rd Psalm made in my life? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will be content. Contentment. We live in one of the most materialistic societies. Society is very physically prosperous. And yet you have all kinds of mental health problems and conflict and restlessness in our society. Because people are trying to find contentment in all the wrong places, in things that cannot bring contentment, that only increase anxiety because you worry about trying to hang on to it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will be content. If I have the Lord, if I realize the Lord is all I have, I realize the Lord is all I need. Paul says, here he makes an affirmation about them, the Philippians. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, I am confident that you're going to continue to grow, God's going to transform your life, and you'll be ready to meet the Lord on Judgment Day. Now, what does that have to do with me? I am confident God is completing his good work in me, so I am ready for Christ's return. Are you confident or not? Are you moving in the right direction or you're not? Well, we need to consciously think about that, arranging my thoughts so that these scriptural affirmations will shape my character and my behavior. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, present your bodies as a holy sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we think, so we are. As we continue to think, so we shall be. Holiness in life must be preceded by holiness in thought. So I'd encourage you all this week as we think about, I'm going to take some verses. The outline is there on the back. Look at those. My outline of the sermon is by the office on the table there. You can look up those verses. There's other verses you can look up to help you know the power of scriptural affirmation. The transforming power of a holy mind comes from learning how to orderly affirm spiritual truth. And use your truth cards. Write it down. Crystallize your thinking. Personalize it, and it'll change our life. If you're not a Christian, you're on your own. You need God's help to change your life. You need to be converted. Why don't you put on Christ today in baptism while we stand and sing?